WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. It is freezing out. You might be listening to me from the warmth of your home, or car, or workplace, but not everyone has access to a stable, warm place to spend the day. In fact, the overall rate of homelessness in cities across the country has gone up 18% in the last year. Meanwhile, in Chicago, the numbers tell an even more dire story. The number of unhoused people actually tripled between 2023 and 2024. And when you dig into the stats, you find that Black Illinoisans are 8 times more likely to experience homelessness than white residents. That's twice the national rate. Experts say there are structural reasons for this. And a recent report from the Illinois Office to Prevent and End Homelessness discusses ways to address that gap. To learn more, we were joined by Christine Haley. She's the Chief Homelessness Officer for the state of Illinois. Now, as I mentioned, when it comes to homelessness in this state, the racial disparity is high. So I wanted to get Christine's take, and I asked her, what does that signal for her? Or what does this tell her about the work ahead? Here's Christine.
We don't have enough housing for everyone who needs it, and that the racial disparities that we see are really incredibly high if we look at our rates of white homelessness. Here in the state of Illinois, we have relatively low rates of white homelessness. We mirror Mississippi in our rates of white homelessness. But in our rates of Black homelessness, if you look at the disparity between white and Black rates, we have the second highest disparity in the country for states that have more than 1 million Black residents. Mm-hmm. So New York is number one, Illinois is number two, and then it's other great migration states like Ohio and others. And so we understand that if we are to end homelessness in our state and in communities across the country, we really need to understand why we see these high rates of Black homelessness. And that's why we formed the Racial Equity Roundtable on Black Homelessness to bring leaders from across our state together from multiple sectors that included folks who were homeless service providers, housing providers, the faith community, people with lived expertise of homelessness, to help work with our partners at the University of Illinois, Chicago's Institute for Research on Race and Public Policy to drive this report.
Yeah, sounds like the reason you called for this report, exactly. And so were there misconceptions, Christine, or myths that you wanted to address by looking at the structural reasons for the racial disparity?
Absolutely. So some of the driving narratives that we have around what causes homelessness is around personal responsibility and personal decision-making. People making bad decisions, not being careful with their money, substance use and mental illness as the primary drivers. And although there may be personal vulnerabilities that an individual may have, we really felt it was important to step back and look at the structural drivers. When we think about income, for example, in the Chicago Department of Housing put out a report not too long ago, a few years ago, that said the average household income, median income for families in Chicago was about $90,000. For Latino families was about $40,000. Mm-hmm. And for Black families, $27,000. Recently, the Color of Wealth study came out that really looked at wealth. And in that found that for Black families in Chicago that the median income for Black families, the median assets for Black families was about $20,000 and for white families, $326,000. Mm-hmm. But if we look at liquid assets, the money that you might have if you have an emergency, if you have a layoff or a medical emergency, the cash on hand for Black families in Chicago, that's about $1,000. For white families, about $27,000. So we really think that the intergenerational wealth is one of the primary drivers of this disparity.
Yeah.
In addition to, if we think about when you have an emergency, where do you pull money from? You pull money from your home. You pull money for that equity. And we know the long history in Chicago around lack of redlining,
right,
of inequitable practices around housing and housing access. And because of that, we believe that those are the primary structural drivers why we see this disparity in Chicago and across our state, not because of the personal personal narratives.
So let's stick with Chicago specifically then. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can attribute much of this to the number of migrants that we've seen come to the city over the past few years. But the cost of housing is a big factor here. Mm-hmm. Talk more about that.
Absolutely. So the increase that we saw in our numbers across our state, so we had from 2023 to 2024, 116% increase in homelessness in our state. In that, we know that it is primarily driven, one, because there's not enough housing. There's not enough housing for folks who can afford it.
Right.
We've seen across the state a 40% increase in fair market rents in some communities, right? Up to a 40% increase for rents. We see that there's not enough housing for folks who are at moderate incomes, for lower incomes. And when people aren't able to move on because there isn't enough housing stock, that's all like a trickle-down effect. We are all part of this housing community. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we tend to think that homelessness is over here, a side issue, where really, it is part of our housing continuum, that we do not have enough housing that people can afford, whatever their income bracket may be.
Right.
So in addition, we do understand that new arrivals from the southern border were included in our homeless counts. And the number of new arrivals coming to our city has decreased significantly. Therefore, we also... But even if we don't look at the non, if we look at the non-new arrival population, we saw increases in homelessness in 17 out of our 19 community areas.
Wow.
But although these numbers are staggering, I think we are still incredibly hopeful, right? Because we understand that investments in housing, we know how to solve this problem, right?
Yeah.
It's through investments in housing. It's through investments in our safety net. And in 2021, Governor Pritzker signed an executive order to fight homelessness that created an infrastructure within state government to address homelessness. And in that, we have prevented hundreds of Illinois households from becoming homeless, and thousands of Illinois households have accessed services such as shelter and housing through these investments.
And just drilling in on the disparities once again, right? If we look at the folks who can't afford to purchase a home. Now, you're considered rent burdened if you spend over 30% of your paycheck on rent or mortgage, and you're severely rent burdened if you spend over 50%. Mm-hmm. Your report found rent burden actually doesn't affect Black and white residents in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So even that has a disparity to it.
Exactly. So the report really focused on, and I'd like to recognize my colleagues, Dr. Yvonne Ardenas, Dr. Amanda Lewis, and Aisha Lehman from UIC, who really dug deep into understanding where do we see rates of white homelessness and rates of Black homelessness impacted by different social factors. So when I talked about income and intergenerational wealth, we understand that's our umbrella. But if we want to dig deeper into understanding what are specific activities that we can invest in and focus in at the state level, the report focuses on a number of areas. So it focuses on rent burden and housing. Within housing, it was really focusing on evictions. What is the impact of evictions on Black households and on Black households? Incarceration, the rates of incarceration, how do they impact rates of homelessness,
mm-hmm.
employment, healthcare, and foster care transitions.
Yeah.
So the report really looked at the disparities and then And then we also looked at what is our response to these disparities. What was very important to the Racial Equity Roundtable on Black Homelessness is that this was not just a report that sat on our shelf, right? That this was something that included an action plan with it. It included activities that we as state government were committing to be able to address homelessness. So it included an investment in evictions, right? So for our court-based rental assistance program, which provides support to individuals and families and their and landlords who are in eviction court, the Illinois Housing Development Authority has advanced that program that was supposed to end during the COVID restrictions, but we've used state money to continue that program. So that was a data-driven decision made from the report that we wanted to focus on evictions. So if folks are currently in eviction court, they can reach out to our website, IllinoisHousingHelp.org, to be able to access court-based rental, the court-based rental assistance program.
Last year, Illinois was the second state government in the country to undertake a report on the morbidity and mortalities that are associated with homelessness. Christine, give us briefly the major takeaways there.
People experiencing homelessness die 18 years earlier than our general population, 18 years. So the average Illinoisan's age of death is 74, and the average age of death for people experiencing homelessness in our state is 56. We have significant work to do to be able to reduce this rate. We understand the vulnerabilities. We started off, Sasha, talking about how cold it is. We know people experiencing homelessness from this report in Illinois die at 38 times the rate of the general population from cold-related injuries. People experiencing homelessness are four times more likely to die from a traumatic injury, like being hit by a car. And they're three times more likely to be to die by homicide. So people experiencing homelessness have a number of vulnerabilities that just the act of being homeless, being on a train. We've seen national stories of people experiencing homelessness being killed. Housing is the solution to end this disparity in health outcomes. We know that housing is healthcare, and that by providing housing for folks that we see health outcomes improve.
Yeah. So that said, tell me about any other action plans that your office is considering right now to combat this overall issue? Because that report, it's filled with action.
Sure. So I think that there are a number of pieces that we are advancing through Home Illinois, which is our state plan to prevent and end homelessness. And that one of the pillars of that plan is to close the mortality gap. So we at the state are investing in medical respite, which is it's a type of shelter for people who are coming out of the hospital. So as if you've ever been hospitalized and know you need to recover after being in the hospital, folks experiencing homelessness don't have a place to go afterwards. So we invest in medical respite. And I think that there at the end of this, we really want to be making data-driven decisions where people experiencing homelessness and where Black Illinoisans are really at the center of understanding our work. So when I first started this work, I worked in homeless services abroad for a few years after college and then came back to Chicago in 2001. And in 2001, I worked with families who were experiencing homelessness as they bounced around from shelter to living with family and friends and back to shelter. And I noticed that in almost every shelter that I went to, almost all of the children and their parents in that shelter were Black. And as a Black Chicagoan myself, it was incredibly powerful to see why is it that we allow this in our communities for our Black children, for our white children, for our Latino children, but primarily our Black children to be exposed to the traumas of homelessness.
So leave me with this. How do you hope that this information then affects how we all understand and talk about homelessness?
Yeah. We really hope to shape the narrative and to change the narrative away from poor decision-making causes homelessness towards homelessness is caused because we don't have enough housing for everyone. And that when we have conversations about the generational wealth gap, we should be talking about including homelessness in that conversation. When we have conversations about education and housing and not having enough rental housing, not having enough opportunities for homebuyers, we should be thinking about homelessness within that same context. Mm. So we hope that we want to engage in communities in this conversation. We want to engage all communities in thinking about what role housing plays and welcoming people experiencing homelessness into their community. Because really, it's our brothers, our sisters, our aunts and uncles.
We'll leave it there. That's Christine Haley, who's Chief Homelessness Officer with the Illinois Office to Prevent and End Homelessness. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset brings you the news through important, curious, and insightful conversations. If you like what you hear, please subscribe wherever you listen or visit us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll meet again later today.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.